County Prevention Coalition podcast, dedicated to bringing educational information to prevent substance abuse and help individuals achieve a healthy well-being.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for coming today and viewing into our video that we're making of our Wood County Adamus Youth Survey results. We're doing this a little bit different in format than we have in the past with our public release. And we're going to be live on the radio next week. At the same time, we're going to release this video so you can visit our website and learn about the results that we learned from the students here in grades 5 through 12 in Wood County. So without further ado, we have our evaluator here, Dr. Bill Ivasco. So welcome, Bill.
Thank you, Todd. I'd like to present then all of our data, and thank you, Kyle, for the introduction, and thank all of you who are actually viewing in. Appreciate your attention and interest in the project. There's also a book that has got 130 so pages of all of what we're about to share, and a briefer barometer summary of everything we're about to share along with this PowerPoint. So let me start by giving you the highlights immediately of what we found. We've been doing this survey now since 2004, so almost 20 years, 10 times, 10th survey, 18 years apart, that this is the lowest drug use that kids have reported ever. Everything has been in decline, and we were wondering during the pandemic, would we see an increase or decrease? Well, what we saw was a decrease in literally all substances, except for two, really. Caffeinated energy drinks continue to go up. Edibles went up in marijuana, but some other types of marijuana went down. And the use of narcotic painkillers seemed to be up a little bit. It wasn't high to begin with, but it's trending up. The second thing we found, that was the good news. The bad news, we found that all mental health indicators were going in the wrong direction. Kids were experiencing more stress in all of our measures, greater suicide ideation, suicide attempts, greater bullying, more adverse childhood experiences in the home, and those are of concern to us. And the third area that we looked at was gambling and gaming. Yes, we assumed the kids gamed a lot more. Obviously, they were home on their consoles and their smartphones and their tablets, and they did game more, but it wasn't disordered. It didn't seem to be preoccupation that it interfered with their life. On the other hand, gambling went up significantly. And we also saw an increase in disordered gambling from a little less than 3% to almost 7%. So perhaps all this interest in FanDuel and DraftKings and other types of online gambling services are really starting to grab hold, and that could be a concern for the future. So let me go through right away now. That's the highlights. Let me give you the more detail of each of the things. Here's what we just mentioned. Increases in caffeinated energy drinks, narcotic painkillers, and the edibles. But decreases in literally every other substance, and that was great to see. Well, we saw increases in our mental health, bullying, suicide, the ACEs, and gambling and gaming. And the only decrease was some of the attitudes about marijuana. Vaping has been the rage, so to speak, in the United States in the past 4 years or so. And we combined, did you ever vape nicotine, vape marijuana, or vape flavors? And we see that vaping really increased 2 years ago in 2020, went from 17 to 27% among seniors, but now it's dropped back. So that's a good thing. We saw some of that decline. When we asked what's in that vaping device, here you can see the any vaping is in blue, but the nicotine seems to be the favored drug of choice, followed by THC or marijuana amongst the senior class. So you see nicotine vaping at 18%, THC at almost 12%. The great news is cigarettes is only 1.7%, and that was at, 30, 40% in 2004. It's come down to literally doesn't even exist anymore in Wood County or amongst the school-age population. Back to that, but that doesn't mean we've gotten rid of nicotine. Nicotine is now being delivered in at 18.1% via a vaping device rather than a cigarette, and 18% among cigarette use was what we saw back in 2008 and 2010. So while we've declined the cigarette delivery of nicotine, we've replaced it with the vaping delivery system of nicotine. But we lost, so we thought we had made great headway coming all the way down from the 18 to 1 in cigarette smoking. But like I said, it came back in the vaping of nicotine. So there we have nicotine vaping, it had gone up to 22, the red line, and now it's back down to 18% in 2022. Marijuana had gone from almost non-existent, only 2%, to 13%, but now back down to 11.8 or almost 12%. So those are some good things. We were wondering why these declines occurred, and we thought there could be really four reasons why we're seeing some of this. One would be access. Kids can't get substances like they might have had access to in the past when they were out around in the world. Second, they're less likely to be influenced by their peers because they're probably at home. So number three, they have a far greater parent influence, which is usually a more positive thing. And the fourth reason, we'd like to believe that all of the on-site prevention specialists that we've had in the schools providing lessons maybe started to percolate a little bit when kids were at home and they got to thinking about the dangers and the drugs and alcohol use. Good thing it came down. I don't know whether that means it'll be sustained into the future. University of Michigan asked a question that we did not ask, and that question was, did you use less, more, or about the same during the pandemic? The kids who were already users said they didn't change, but the rates went down, which means that fewer kids probably initiated substance use, and some people quit, but we most likely saw a lack of initiation rather than a cessation of current users. So some kids probably quit, fewer kids started, and that's enough to bring the rate down. Will that be sustained into the future? I don't know. Delaying the onset of drug use is always good. It leads to lower use or non-use. But now that they're back out in schools again and in the community again where they can get access to things, have different values, we don't know what we'll see. So could be fleeting, could be long-term. We'll know in a few more years. Alcohol use, the lowest it's ever been. Look at that, back 60% in 2012. And I took off a few years here because we have too many lines. Back in 2004, that was 80.5% of kids saying they drank in the last year. Now down to only 35%, less than half of where it was at the beginning of our survey work and at the very beginning of prevention efforts in the community. We'd like to believe that we had a big part of making that difference. Same with drinking in the past month, down from 37, which was actually at 50%, down to 21% among seniors. So kids were drinking a lot less during the pandemic. Marijuana use in general came down. And this, by the way, isn't just in Wood County. We saw some of this nationally, and we're reflecting what we saw in the rest of the communities as well. And here's my concern about edible use. We asked kids had they ever had edibles in the past 30 days, and our rates in 18 and 20 were about 8%, 7.7, almost double, over double, to 16.9%. I shared these results with local law enforcement yesterday, and they confirmed, yes, they're seeing edibles about more now than they had in the past as well. So could be the ease of access. We're close to Michigan where you can get edibles. Maybe some of that is access and the ability to obtain these substances. Not necessarily a drug, but maybe a junior varsity drug, a trainer drug. The use of caffeinated energy drinks has been going up considerably in all grade levels all throughout the county. 50% of the kids say they drink caffeinated energy drinks, and maybe that has something to do with the gaming experience that we're seeing. I want to point out heroin because some people think when we had the opioid epidemic that the opioid epidemic had gone into the schools as well. It has not. We've never seen kids using heroin in Wood County. Oh, a few. I'm saying maybe a dozen or so would have tried it once, but we don't see any kind of a epidemic like the adult community experienced in a few years ago. What we do see, though, is an increase in the misuse of narcotic painkillers. And we saw that increase a little bit from 20 to 22. And again, not a significant amount, but 7-8%. And that could be access at the home. Maybe if I'm home and I'm able to get in all the cupboards and closets, I'll find something like that before. And maybe that's where some of that is increasing. I'm not sure what the reason for that is, but narcotic painkiller use, 30-day use, is up a little bit. So that's the end of the substance use. Here's a little bit about the mental health concern. 10 years ago, Bill Donnelly was the director of the Children's Resource Center here in Bowling Green. And when a child was admitted to the CRC, they would take a psychological inventory to show where their symptoms were. And they could range from, I have no problems, to I have severe or intense problems. Bill wanted us to take that inventory and give it to the general population. See what kids are like that are not going to the CRC, what they're like in a regular community. So we've been doing that for a while, and we saw some significant things in this past year. During the pandemic, the number of kids reporting moderate problems, severe problems, and intense problems has gone up. You can see from 7.8% to almost 10% to 13% combining these last two. So kids were indicating to us that there is some stress in their lives. That's a concern because the more likely you exhibit mental health symptoms, the more likely you could engage in substance use or substance misuse. For example, that narcotic painkiller we were talking about, this is the annual use, less than 2% of the kids that have no problems use those. But nearly 17% of the kids who report intense problems might misuse something. And all substances are like that. Bullying was increasing. We thought cyber would probably increase because kids were home online, and it did. But so did bullying, verbal bullying, and so did physical bullying, surprisingly. This reminds me of my sister. Maybe when she got mad, she punched me in the arm. Maybe that's what's happening here. Some kids were getting involved in physical bullying from the stress that they were experiencing at home or in the community. I don't know, but we're seeing it trending in the wrong direction. Suicide ideation. The highest, that black line is 2022, the highest we've ever recorded in Wood County. Kids saying they've thought about hurting themselves or killing themselves. And the highest number of attempted suicides as well, particularly in 11th grade. Some of the other lines were higher at one time back in 2012. But still, that line is near the top of all the years that we've been collecting data. So mental health concerns, bullying concerns, suicide ideation, all in the wrong direction. And some of that could be reflected of what we call ACEs, or adverse childhood experiences. We ask kids in the last year or at home, have you ever had any physical abuse, emotional abuse, or sexual abuse, neglect in any way? Or is there household dysfunction? Mom is being treated badly. Somebody isn't on drugs or an alcoholic. Someone is struggling with mental illness or has been incarcerated or arrested. And we've been tracking these in 18, 20, and 22. And in 22, literally everyone went up except for divorce. Otherwise, all of them went up. For example, someone struggling with mental illness started at 19, now up to 26.6. That doesn't mean that the school-aged youth is experiencing that. That means that they perceive someone at home is experiencing that. Now, I don't think kids can diagnose that their mom and dad have a mental illness, but their perception is somebody's struggling with that, whether they are truly and they've heard that diagnosis being discussed or whether they just think mom and dad are crazy, I don't know. But the perception is clearly there, and kids are obviously picking up some of their stressors at home, and we're seeing that as well. And as ACEs go up, so too do these kinds of negative behaviors. Someone who reports none of those problems at home might still be thinking about suicide or attempting suicide, but boy, if you have three and four of those kinds of experiences at home, your life is much more stressful and much more likely to exhibit some of these kinds of at-risk behaviors than they would when you have none of those ACEs at home. That's the end of the mental health portion. Our third portion is on gambling and gaming. And gaming and gambling can become addictive, and that's why we're pursuing this now. Gaming activity, working on a console, a laptop, or any other kind of phone or whatever, we saw it increase, the red line is 22, among fifth graders, sixth graders, seventh graders. Usually in the upper classes it goes down because kids get involved in other activities, but clearly the younger kids were involved more in gaming. But we asked them to take a gaming disorder test, and we found that kids, while they're gaming a lot, don't seem to be dysfunctional because of it, where their grades are suffering or they're lying to their parents or some other negative kinds of things. Gambling, on the other hand, look at gambling. As you play cards, skill, betting on sports, lottery, scratch-offs, and then what a lot of young kids do today, fantasy sports, and the newest thing, esports. The orange line there is 22, and you saw a significant jump in gambling in this past period of time. 11th and 12th grade males is our target market. They are the most likely to be gambling, and usually in sports-related kind of gambling, and we also noticed that they do a lot of gaming. Unlike gaming, gambling disorder seems to be real. We asked them to take a gambling disorder test to see if they are lying or doing some dysfunctional things in gambling. And yes, we saw that increase from 2.7 to 6.7%. So again, like I mentioned earlier, the idea of getting involved in FanDuel, DraftKings, all these online gambling sites that are being advertised and marketed directly to kids, that are exciting for kids, could be the breeding ground of some future disordered gambling as an adult. So while the delay of onset appeared in drug use, and we're feeling optimistic about that for the future, there doesn't seem to be a delay of onset in gambling. That seems to be real, and maybe that's going to build up even more so, particularly with the legalization of additional sports gaming in 2023 that was just passed in Ohio. So we'll have to keep an eye on gambling, because that might be something that is going to become more prevalent. When kids game, they can buy what we call a loot box or a treasure chest, and you can hopefully maybe get a new sword or a skin or something that will help you in your game. We ask kids if they ever spend money on those kinds of things. I would suppose it's a little bit more dysfunctional if you're doing that daily or weekly, just maybe not now and again. And most kids say no, they don't gamble in their games, but some kids do, about what, 3-4.6%, and they're the actual number of kids reporting they're doing this on a daily or weekly basis. That's concerning. We ask them, and here are some more, the questions to see is that purchase of a loot box dysfunctional? Again, I never mind when kids do something. What I'm wondering also, is it in your mind and dysfunctional in some ways? So we ask them, do you play longer than you intend to so you can win those boxes? Do you chase your losses? And do you find it exciting and thrilling when you keep buying more? And we again see the same kind of numbers. There are some kids who are getting involved in that. And that's grades 5 through 12 combined. Most kids never, but we're seeing some of that dysfunction occurring in the gaming-gambling combination world, sometimes called gambling. We're seeing some of that. The last thing we thought was of interest is we asked, well, maybe kids just like being online more. Maybe online life is more exciting than face-to-face life. Maybe as an adult, we need to learn more about this. So we asked these three questions. Do you see yourself more valuable online than in real life? Do you see you're respected more online than in real life? And you communicate better online than in real life? And that's while you're gaming, by the way. That's not just like in Facebook or Snapchat. This is during a game. We found that most kids disagreed with those statements. Some strongly agreed. But amongst those kids that did a lot of gaming, 2 hours a day, they report, I game 2 hours every day. Boy, 38% agreed with those statements. So the gamer is starting to see himself or herself in a whole different self-identity. And here's our summary, and you can read through that. And we've kind of reflected it already.
This podcast is intended for educational purposes only. Those views expressed on the podcast do not necessarily reflect the views of the Wood County Educational Service Center or the Wood County Prevention Coalition.